Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities, and what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra at Orchestra Hall. And now let's turn to the page in your symphony scrapbook devoted to the violin, and we have with us to talk about and demonstrate that instrument, Mr. Leon Brenner, member of the violin section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Brenner, I'm sure our listeners would like to have you identify that selection you played from that well-known symphony and play some more from it.
Well, that was the Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 4, and that was a part of the first movement.
I want to assure our listeners that you chose that without consulting me at all. I say that in order to make plain there's no connection between that playing and my making a plug for the recording of the Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra under Mr. Kubelik, which we made recently for Mercury. And that leads to a question I don't believe I've asked on this program. Is there any difference in atmosphere when as you play for a recording from the atmosphere when you're playing in a regular concert?
Well, it used to be back a few years ago before they started using tape that recordings were just about the hardest job that we could possibly do, because so often you'd have practically a complete record finished and you'd be wondering just who was going to make a mistake and ruin it.
Whereas in the last few seconds of
that's
that
right.
side.
And now we have the tape and you're much more relaxed because they can cut it out and patch it if they have to, and it makes it a lot easier for us.
It's much more natural, too, recording for tape, isn't it? That you can go along for a longer section.
I think so.
Whereas in a recording side by side, there was a certain artificiality
That's right.
about it. Now, I said at the beginning of this program that what we want our listeners to come to know is the men who make music at Orchestra Hall. Therefore, I think it'd be interesting this time for you to tell our listeners something about your own background, your own training. How come you took up the violin? Something
well,
about your teachers, your symphonic experience?
I started at a very early age. My father was a bandmaster in the Navy, and in fact, during Teddy Roosevelt's time, he was on the Mayflower. And he had something to do with starting the Navy band, in that that was the first time that they had a really big band with fine men in it and played at the legations and all the formal functions and so forth and so on. And after my dad retired, he kept up a little bit of violin teaching and viola teaching, and I showed a interest for it when I was about 4 years old. And I can't say I picked it out. After all, when you're 4 years old, you really don't know what you're doing. But I can't say that I'd change it either at this time. And I was playing in public when I was six, and maybe on the way to being a soloist, but as you can see, I'm pretty tall. And when I was 9 years old, nobody would believe how old I was anymore, and that was the end of that kind of a career.
No longer could pass as a child prodigy.
No, that was completely out. And I've had done all my studying in Chicago, and I studied with Isidore Berger for quite some years, and finished up my training with Morris Gomberg, who is at Roosevelt College right now. I played in the Civic, of course, for 5 years.
The Civic Training Orchestra.
That's right. And I played in Indianapolis Symphony, and from there I came into the Chicago Symphony.
Well, it's good to have you with us. I wonder if you can't show us by playing some more from some symphonic literature the result of that training. What work will you choose?
Well, I'd like to play some more of the Tchaikovsky at this time.
Very popular symphony. What movement will this be?
Now, this is from the second movement.
Reminds me that perhaps I should have introduced you by saying that you're a member of the, not only of the violin section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, a member of the second violin section.
That's right.
A lot of people feel that because of the proverbial expression, playing second fiddle, that the second violins are not so important as the first.
Well, a lot of people think that way, but in some ways we do an awful lot of the heavy work. We're sort of the workhorses of the two violin sections. And where the first violins are playing a nice, beautiful lyric theme, why, we're sort of sawing away at it and backing it up, something like the line in a football team.
So that without the second violins, the first would seem pretty thin?
Well, they'd have to split up and do some of it themselves.
In other words, if there weren't any second violins, you'd have to invent some.
That's right.
Well, I think we all feel that of all the instruments in the orchestra, the violins are the busiest because they seem to be busy every minute of every concert. So would you say that that's true of the second violins as well as of the first?
Well, very much so, because, in fact, when we were on the road a while back, I was talking to our first trumpet player, and I happened to mention to him that in this in the Schubert Seventh Symphony, we have 22 pages of music, and he really couldn't believe it, because the trumpet parts usually are comparatively small. And we have page after page after page.
Do you have any selection which would illustrate, say, the work of the second violins as contrasted with the first violins? Because, of course, the second violins frequently do carry a theme.
Oh, we very often
carry the melody.
We play in unison, and a great deal of the time we play an octave below the first violins, play the same thing. And very often we jump back and forth, and we'll play the accompaniment figure while the first violins play the melody, and maybe 8 or 16 bars later, the first violins will play the accompaniment, and we play the figure.
Is there do you have a passage which will illustrate that in any way?
Well, there's something that illustrates that very well in the Schubert Seventh Symphony.
While the first violins are carrying the main melody, in that the second violins are giving that very necessary support.
That's right.
To enrich the texture of the music.
That's right. And I might mention that goes on for about 4 pages.
Another question that a listener might ask is this. Here you're sitting between the first violins and the woodwinds, with some of the brass, say the trumpets, behind you, playing some texture music like that without any melody. Do you hear what's going on in the first violins? Do you hear what the trumpets, what the flutes, what the oboes are playing? Or do you have to sort of close your ears to everything except your own music?
Well, no, we definitely hear what's going on because that's one of the problems that I had in picking out this music. I was really amazed to find that there were so few continuous passages in the second violin section, although I've played these numbers many, many times. But in listening to the overall picture, I had the impression that I was playing a nice melody all the time. Actually, it was coming from other instruments. And I think that playing second violin, you hear an awful lot more of the music than when you're playing first violin, where you're playing the melody all the time.
That's an interesting comment. I'd like to ask another question that I should have asked violins on this program long before this. A lot of people feel that, with you violinists, the left hand is the hand that really does all the work. That's the hand that does all the fingering and produces the music, while the right hand merely grasps the end of a bow and saws back and forth. Reminded of a comment I read once that the left hand of a violinist is the artisan, while the right hand is really the artist. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, naturally, both hands are very, very important. But when you come right down to it, the left hand has to play the notes, but the right hand is the one that decides the color and the difference in tone that is produced on the violin. And if the right hand doesn't work, why, the left hand playing all the notes doesn't really make much difference because nothing will come out. And all the real beauty of the violin, where it compares with the human voice and so forth and so on, those things are all controlled by the right hand.
Therefore, the bow is a very important part of your equipment.
I think it's more important than either one, than the other hand at all.
What instrument do you play? I mean, what is the... Is it a Strad or an old...
No, I wish it was, but this instrument has a varied sort of a history in that I can't find out what it is. My father picked this violin up in a pawn shop, and since that time, I've spent many more times... what he paid for it in repairs than the original price.
Well, that leads us right into the question that I'd like to ask you, and we're going to add it to our scrapbook and send a pair of tickets to Mr. Ray E. Lyon of Alba, Michigan for the question. He said he has a violin with the following printed inside: Antonio Stradivarius Cremonensis, Facie but Anno 1730, with a little circle trademark. He said, I'm interested in knowing if this violin is of any special value. I've been told that all the genuine Stradivarius violins have been accounted for. Is that correct? In other words, can Mr. Lyon rely on the label in his violin?
Well, I think that there's not much doubt that the printers have made many more labels than the violin makers have made violins.
I think there's something like Stradivarius made about 1,116 violins in his lifetime, and there are only about 540 in existence, so I think we won't hold out too much hope for Mr. Lyon.
No, I wouldn't.
And we'll thank him for his question, and thank you, Mr. Brenner, for being with us on this program.